Hey, Stellar Woman fans, I'm your host, Mary Rectoris.
And I'm your co-host, Mila Taylor. Stellar Woman shines a light on female leaders making their mark in tech.
Before bringing in our guest today, Mila and I want to give a quick shout out to Candace Corby. Candace has been appointed as a USA Senator to the World Business Angels Investment Forum. She will be repping the USA at the Global Assembly in Istanbul in Turkey this year. In her role, Candace is going to work with other global leaders to provide access to both capital and funding to women and minority businesses around the world. So I want to give a huge congrats to Candace. And if listeners, you haven't had a chance, be sure to check out our episode with Candace. All right, let's get to today's episode. For today's episode, we are chatting with Ellen Blanchard, the Director of Discovery and Information Governance at T-Mobile.
Hello, Ellen.
Hello, thank you for having me today.
Thanks for joining us. We're really, really excited to chat with you.
So we have a bunch of exciting questions lined up, but before we kind of get into, you know, your role and what you do work-wise, maybe we can start with some things like getting to know you. What are some things that you like to do outside of work?
These days, it seems that it's kind of whatever the kids want to do. I left to my own planning. I love photography, particularly nature photography, going hiking. I used to also have press credentials to cover sports in DC, so I miss that. So I try to do as much photography as I can of in my spare time.
Wow, that's really cool. Especially the press. You're a reporter. Were you taking photos for this?
I was taking photos. So I actually had a friend who had a sports blog, and he put together the credential requirements for sports bloggers to have access to the press rooms for the NHL. And he decided he needed a photographer, and he and I were seeing each other at a friend's house around the same time. And he's like, wait, you're a photographer. He's like, do you want to try this? And I was like, sure, of course. I love hockey. And so I spent the rest of that season taking pictures of hockey. And then I got MLS credentials and did a couple of fun one-offs like the Dew Tour and professional bull riding. And did that until I moved from DC to Seattle. I did it for a couple of years.
Meet or see Alexander Ovechkin?
I never got to meet him, but got to see him a lot. If you have credentials, you can shoot right on the ice. The glass actually has a couple of spots where they've cut circles into it, so you can shoot through that so the pictures themselves aren't ice chips on the glass or, you know, spots on the glass and things like that. So I used to sit, you know, right by the goalies. Got to see a lot of them, but all from a distance.
Sure, you saw a lot of broken teeth and fun stuff that comes with hockey.
Yes, exactly. A few fights, all of this.
Well, so shifting gears, you know, just slightly, Ellen, you are on the board of the Mother Attorney Mentoring Association. And for our listeners, that provides mentoring opportunities for mother attorneys to network, which we thought was really cool. So can you just let us know, like, why did you get involved in this effort? And what are you doing now with the association?
As working mothers, we're sort of constantly trying to juggle work and home. And when I started with my firm many, many, many years ago, it seemed like there was very few of the kind of equity partners who were mothers. Many women attorneys left the profession when they had children or came back on kind of a different career path than the traditional law firm career path. And it just didn't seem like there were a lot of resources or support from other attorneys. And so one of the challenges that we saw, particularly Mama Seattle was started before I moved to Seattle, but really designed to kind of support the mothers here. Because one of the challenges that we saw in particular was related to networking. Such a critical tool for business development, building book of business, kind of climbing the ladder at traditional firms. But many of the events for that are in the evenings or on the weekends. And if you're a mom, you're kind of left with this choice of, do you attend the events or do you spend time with your families? Gets a little easier as the kids get older, but for so many women, you're having kids about the same time that you're up for partnership. So Mom has created these networking opportunities that are really sort of family focused and family centric. There's monthly lunches and CLE events that happen but during the workday over the lunch hour. And then there's weekend events, but they're child focused. So things like going to children's museums, nights at the sort of local baseball park, corn mazes and s'mores at Halloween, but really designed to get the families together. My kids still talk about getting to hold bunnies at one of the spring events and things like that. And then you get a chance to, you know, talk to other mother attorneys or sometimes, you know, the fathers who are attorneys or in business and things like that. It's a great opportunity.
That's really, really cool, especially given right now we're in interesting times with the pandemic and remote work. So whether it's people in the association, yourself, or people you work with, how are people faring in this work from home environment, especially with a lot of schools having virtual learning? How do you kind of navigate it all?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I mean, and I think definitely challenges that we're seeing. I think the way that we're dealing with it is being flexible. Every day is kind of different. Like the kids have their own meetings and my husband has his meetings. And so it's trying to navigate who's doing what, when, and making sure that you're communicating. One of the things I realized just this week is that I set up my one-on-ones with my team members to all happen on Wednesday afternoon. I just kind of like to stack them, prepare. Sometimes I needed to, you know, ask, get updates from one person to pass to another. So I had stacked them that way. But my son is pretty much doesn't have class on Wednesdays. So he's got a couple things in the morning and then he's got like worksheets and activities and things on Wednesdays, but no actual time with his teachers after 9:30. And yesterday I realized that that is not going to work for me to have the one-on-ones Wednesday afternoon. So I let everybody know that I was going to shift that around. It's not like it was before. How do we figure out how to make that better now?
I agree. And I think something that my team specifically has been doing, I think we've been doing a pretty good job. We're a smaller team of three and we're all at different stages, kids, not kids, pets, not pets. And I've kind of just been had to be really transparent with each other and say like, you know, these hours now, given what's going on, like don't work for me. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to, you know, maybe log on sooner, sign off sooner. And it's kind of just been this like really open, transparent conversation about, okay, given what's going on, like this is when I can be fully attentive and this is when I can't. And I think that's made a really productive team.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point because we're all dealing with these things and people will get their work done. We have to trust them. Like if you've hired them and you've kept them on your team, then you must trust them. And so they will get the work done, but it may not look like the 9-to-5 job. And I remember very early on in this, like in, you know, kind of the March, April time period, when the kids would come in, I'd be like, you know, shushing them and sending them out of the room. But the reality is I realized that the folks on my team and the larger litigation team have their own challenges with kids and they need to know that it's okay for the kids to come in and the kids to, you know, interrupt and things like that, because that's just the reality that we're in.
There was this newscaster and he was, I think, live. So it was a little different, but he was giving a presentation on the weather or something. And his son like came barging in. He like could barely walk, like knocking stuff over. And it was kind of funny, but I think it was like, you know, we have to be just honest about the world we're in and not be like embarrassed if there's a disruption and just kind of normalize some things. Cause we're all living with certain new challenges that weren't present. We were in the office every day.
I, at one point was on it was our litigation team call. Although it was one of the first where we had some additional folks from Sprint on as part of the merger. And my daughter's school did a really great job with keeping up with all the work that they were doing and even doing art and music projects and things like that. But one of them was to make a paper mache mask. And I actually hate paper mache just in general. And we had delayed doing this. And finally it was like, you have to do this or it's not going to dry in time for you to do the other things you need to do. So she had, like, we both had this 45-minute window between calls one morning. And so we get all this stuff out, we start doing it. We're almost done, but she's got a call and I've got a call, but I didn't think I was going to have to be on video. I was like, I can just, you know, dial in and it'll be fine. And so she went off to her call. I was finishing a couple of pieces. My hands are covered in paper mache. And I get a question that I have to answer. And it's more involved than I really felt comfortable doing just on the phone. And so I was like, okay, I'm turning my camera on. And I was like, before you ask, my hands are covered in paper mache. Super sticky. I'm just like, yeah. And then, you know, answer, and it was fine. You know, everybody kind of laughed and it was fine, but it is, I think you just have to go, you know what? Like, this is the reality that we're in.
I saw this like one, you kind of like touched on it earlier. I saw this one, I don't know why I saw it. Some quote, I don't know, but it was basically like, you know, you used to be able to measure how hard your team is working by, you know, say they're coming in early or staying late. And now it's kind of just like, well, is the work getting done? Like, that's the new measurement of success is, mm-hmm. is other projects getting done on time and to like a caliber and standard that like is expected. And I kind of think that's like a cool shift in the corporate world. I feel like it never would have happened that way. And I think it took like a pandemic for people to realize, like, as long as the end result is the same, if you have to, you know, take 2 days and 2 hours in the middle of the day to paper mache or take your dog to the vet, as long as the end result is the same, I kind of think that's what's important. And I think this whole thing has kind of catapulted corporate world into having that open frame of mind when I don't know how it would have got there on its own.
And sometimes it's good to get those things out, you know, done, right? To say, okay, yeah, I'm going to take my dog to the vet, or I'm going to help my kid with this project, or maybe it's even the dishes, right? It's those things that are in the back of your head that are stopping you from doing that work really well and efficiently, and you can just knock them out, and then you've got kind of that clear slate to really get great work done.
Exactly. So you kind of touched on how you found working from home, and maybe this hasn't changed at all, but have you found that you've had to pivot your working style at all? Like how you go about, you know, working with your teammates, and what advice do you maybe have for other attorneys who are just juggling work and home in the current climate?
I think one of the things is that we have to do is be more deliberate about the contact with folks, right? You're not running into people in the hallways to ask them questions. We have a kind of an open office plan. And so sometimes for my team, I would hear about a new case that had come in because, you know, a couple of the attorneys were talking about it near my office, and I could be like, oh, wait, we need a litigation hold. What about discovery? What about these things and stuff like that? And so I think we just need to be more deliberate about those conversations. And the reality is although there's certainly Zoom fatigue happening, I also think that there's a desire to have like real conversations with people, even if that's the virtual coffee and things as well. So I think it's just being deliberate, making sure you're reaching out, whether that's as, you know, reaching out to your manager to make sure that you're touching base about work that needs to happen, or as the manager reaching out to your team members and making sure they're doing okay and that they've got, you know, what they need and things. One of the challenges that I found, and I don't have a good solution for this, I think it's a constant work in progress, is figuring out how to set up boundaries. Before, they were a little bit easier, right? Like, yeah, you're in the mornings, you're getting kids ready, you're getting yourself ready, maybe you're doing a few emails or calls, but nobody really expected you to be fully working until, you know, you actually said your day started. And then you would go to work and I'd be kind of the attorney self, right? And I'd be working most, you know, for the day. And yeah, certain things, you know, every so often there'd be something I'd do for the kids or something I'd set up for home or the dog or whatever, but I was mostly an attorney. And then I'd go home and I would be back to mostly mom, mostly, you know, kind of house manager, whatever it is. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a litigator. So there was not as clean of boundaries around that because work is a little bit always crazy in litigation, but there were physical boundaries by, oh, I'm at work or I'm now at my house or I'm at the kids' school that doesn't exist now. And you're constantly kind of playing all of the roles at the same time because I might be in a conference call, but that's when my daughter comes in to say her, you know, she's not able to get onto Teams. Or, you know, that's when my son comes in, he's like, I'm supposed to have this worksheet, but I don't know where it is. And I'm having to, you know, print that off. Or dog decide, you know, needs to go out or something. And so you're constantly trying to play those. So I think one of the things is to figure out as much as you're trying to be flexible and being able to take those couple hours in the middle of the day, how do you mentally create these boundaries? Because it's tiring to be everything all day long.
Definitely. I think that's really, really great advice, kind of merging some of those identities versus like, now I'm this, and it's not as compartmentalized. Kind of running us off here, Ellen, something that Mila and I have been talking about with others like during this time is, how do you grow professionally? I think a lot of us feel like our careers might not be growing at the acceleration that they were before, or a little bit stagnant. So what do you think the industry can do, or companies can do, or managers, to make sure that we're building up emerging talent and making sure that their careers are progressing during these times?
Yeah, I think a lot of this has to do with just really listening to what it is they need and sort of finding the resources to make their jobs easier. And whether that's, you know, like we were talking about before, of being willing to be flexible about what their hours look like, and so they can manage all of these, or, you know, the days of going to the office 9 to 5 and that's your job and then you go home, I don't think we're going to go back to that on any large scale. And so we have to figure out how to give them the resources they need. And part of that is making sure they have the contact with the people that they need to have contact with. And again, kind of being deliberate about making sure those contacts happen, especially in a corporation. The ability to advance often relies on your visibility outside of the department that you're in, and getting support from others in the organization that you might not talk to on a regular basis as part of your job. And so making sure that you bring them to meetings, right? Even though you're not in the same space, like, it's sometimes easier to actually invite them to a Zoom call than it might have been to, you know, bring them to somebody else's office, right, when there's only 2 or 3 seats in the office. So I think it's just about being really deliberate and thinking about, you know, how to make sure that they get those opportunities.
I think that's a really cool and interesting point, that it really is visibility outside of just like your managers or your team's viewing. It's really those decision makers out there. So maybe it is as simple as bringing your mentee or whatever to a meeting, or copying them in on email and saying, actually, this was Mila's work. Like, kudos to her. I think that's something that really goes a long way for people when they're trying to build their career. So that's awesome advice.
I agree. I also feel like, as you mentioned, like, we're not in person, so you don't, you're especially missing out on that actual FaceTime on top of everything. So trying to just make yourself as visible as you can is sometimes hard. And yeah, as Mary said, it's like so helpful when, if I worked on a project and it's, you know, being passed up and up and up, if that someone even like CCs me on it, so I'm still in the loop and I still know what's going on. I think that's great advice. Well, thank you so much, Ellen. That was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for doing this. This was fun.
Yeah. And for Stellar Woman, I'm Mary Rectoris.
And I'm Mila Taylor. Signing off. I don't think we were in sync on that one.
I thought we were. We
can't compete on that.